Wendy's Big Show. And we're calling a Fear the Deer Friday. Thanks for hanging out. Bill Schmidt, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler leaping in here momentarily. Anthony Mandela, intern mother plugger on the other side. You can join us at 414-799-1250. You can join us also live at 1057FMTheFan.com. You want to fire off an email? That's the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. We read them, siphon through, make sure the language is appropriate. As last Friday, we had to put one of our favorite callers, Gary, on suspension, Trav in Brown Deer. So his suspension will be up on Monday. But last Friday, we got a little excited. People were juiced up that it was the weekend. We can't let that happen, even though they're dying the river green and everyone's fired up about the Milwaukee Bucks starting up the playoffs on Sunday. We're going to calm down. We're all going to be rational, excited, and right now lay out the path that the Milwaukee Bucks have to go through to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, I think that's a very rational way to do it. 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com if you want to join the conversation as well. Gary, what's going on, man? Happy Friday.
But how you doing?
Fantastic. First off, I want to say my condolences for your former head coach, Forrest Gregg.
Yeah, I got a call early this morning. I mean, a lot of these guys right now, those old Lombardi Packers, mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting up there in age. And I've got a picture, if you guys want to take a look at it. I have a picture up on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. Instagram. You can go, and it's open to everybody. You can go and check a picture. I think Forrest and I, we were together maybe like 4 or 5 years ago at the Packer Hall of Fame, and they brought back all the NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Famers all
sure.
came back, and so they all wore their gold jackets, and I think that was the last time that I had saw him and talked to him. He was telling he was in failing health at that particular time. But I tell you what, just an awesome guy. If you ever wanted to know what the Packers Bears rivalry was all about, that's the guy.
Well, that was the caption that I read on your Instagram post, man. I got chills when I read it. I had chills when I read it.
Oh, the caption on my Instagram? Yeah. I mean,
boys, you take care of the Chicago Bears.
I'll take care of Mike Ditka. Right? Let's go get him.
And he was ready. He was. That was ready. That was no BS.
No,
he was ready
to go. No BS, because he was ready to go. You hear me?
He looked like he was still ready to go, even though when he was holding up the cane, Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket on, he looked like he would have thrown some hands.
I was a young rookie, right? I didn't know. I mean, I knew about the Packer Bears rivalry because I went to school at UW-Madison, but I just didn't know. And I'm going to say the word hatred was between the two organizations.
It was
like crazy. That was the first time, I tell you, Billy, that I felt like I was a gladiator. I remember I told you this last week. That was the first time in my life I felt like I was in a gladiator sport. Like, you know, like, what's that joker name? Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
Spartacus and them. And what's that? William Wallace.
Lining up in the old Colosseum in Rome, Italy.
Right. That was the first time I ever felt like I was in... Like that I was, because back then we would come out of the tunnel, we go down, and they had over the top, you walk through the tunnel, they had like a metal frame with like small holes in up over the top of it. And Forrest only said these words like maybe a couple times. We go out of the tunnel, and he says, boys, get your helmets on. And so we put all our helmets on, we go through the tunnel, and Bear fans just pouring beer and stuff all over us. I mean, it was a Monday night. It was a Monday night game. So you got, you know, Dandy Dunn Meredith. You got Joe Willie. And, of course, O.J. Simpson. And
Frank Gifford.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Howard Cosell. And it was unbelievable. I mean, the setting for that was great. And we weren't very good that year, too. But it didn't matter. It was Bears-Packers. And we're going to go kick some tail.
Mike Clemens sat in. Mike, Forrest Gregg, I just said condolences to Gary for his former head coach. But, I mean, you have to have a lot of memories of Forrest Gregg,
The first thing is, Vince Lombardi said, of all those players that he had and all those that went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, who you think was your best football player? You thought he was going to say Bart Starr, you know, Ray Nitschke. He said Forrest Gregg, his right tackle. Just an all-round player. Smart football player. Long, lengthy career, available every week, tough, Texas tough. And you know, Lombardi comes in 59, and they've just been losing year after year. I think they were 1-11 or something. He comes in 59, and Gary, when you and I and Forrest were at that luncheon, because I found some of that stuff today, I'm going to put some of that up on the fan Facebook page. You, me, and Forrest, and that little interview with it, did with him too. Maybe I can make a podcast
of
it.
That's right.
I'm
going to
look in the archives for that. It's just about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
You know, Forrest, I think he was battling, what, Parkinson's the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But that dude, man, you know, everybody just said, Forrest, you know, you played all those years. You coached at SMU after the NFL. You took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, and that's how he got the job in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, stay home. We understand. No. He got that gold jacket on, and he was down in front and center for that Brett Favre induction of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, he was having to take the back door and the disabled route to get back into, you know, his SUV. But he made all those appearances that week when we were down there in Canton, you know, because there was a big Packer going in there like Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second year Lombardi comes to Green Bay in 1960, the Packers get to the NFL title game, but they lose to Norm Van Brocklin, quarterback, and the Eagles, and the Packers come up a little short, right? And then after that, they won back-to-back championships against the Giants. And so when Gary and I were talking about that, I brought in this picture of all these rookies in 59, Lombardi's first year, a young Jerry Kramer and Bart Starr and Paul Hornung and all that. And I said, can you remember this picture? He says, yeah, we were on the road against San Francisco. He says, I'll tell you what, Lombardi might have gotten us to the playoffs his first year, but Jimmy Taylor, the renowned fullback, mm-hmm. he missed 5 games that season. He says, if Jimmy had been healthy that year, Lombardi would have gotten into the playoffs his first year in Green Bay. That's how good a coach he was. That's how good he was at working those guys. So, you know, the Packers are just dismal in the 70s after the Lombardi era. They hire Bart, who had been an offensive coordinator for a while with the Packers in the 70s, because he had that great offensive mind. But Bart, you know, people call him like a nice guy as a coach. I don't know if he got after it. But after 6 or 7 years and tries, they let him go in 83, which was really painful. And they brought in Forrest Gregg because they thought, we'll bring in a tougher guy. Who, by the way, who just got the Bengals to the Super Bowl. I think the big difference was this. The Packers did not have the personnel department that the Bengals and the Paul Brown operation had. And that's what helped Forrest Gregg get the Bengals and Kenny Anderson, great quarterback, to the Super Bowl to play against the 49ers. Bart was out there making his own decisions. He needed a lot more scouting and a lot more help. And I also know when I started this business, when I'm 20 or 21 shooting camera for TV18 in Milwaukee, Gary, I could not believe it. I'm on the sidelines. And then when I go into the Packers locker room, and I'm looking around, and I went to Henderson High in Atlanta. It's one of these, you know, football puppy farms.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia schools, like Gary went to, Texas schools, they're huge. They put just millions into the programs. They always have. And we had better equipment in high school in Atlanta than what I saw in the Green Bay Packers in 1982.
Wow.
We had better stuff in the brand new Clotchy Center, which was brand new then at UWM, the gym at UWM on Milwaukee's east side, than the Green Bay Packers had. You know, and Gary's got those stories. So that's what these guys are working with. So when I think about Forrest in his 4 years as a head coach, and you know what? He was up against a really good personnel department in the Chicago Bears and a guy named Mike Ditka,
right,
and a legendary 85 Bears team that was dominating the division. That was what Forrest was up against. You know, trying to go and trying to find a new quarterback, you know, after Lynn Dickey and all that. So that's where his challenge was, you know, as a coach. And if either of those guys, if Bart Starr or Forrest Gregg as coaches of the 80s, if they'd had Bob Harlan running the place instead of by committee, by the board of directors, that's what made the difference. Because Bob Harlan came in and said, you got to spend money on this stuff. You got to get a personnel department. You got to get a GM who really knows what's going on. You got to get equipment for these guys and for the players to draw free agents. And they were 5 years short of that. I think if they'd had Bob Harlan running the Packers when they were there, they might have had longer runs as head coaches of the Packers.
Well, you said that, Gary, a lot of different times when you talk about those teams that you played on in Green Bay under Forrest was like you guys were good enough to the point of where the talent could take you. Like you guys were
right,
played hard enough and yeah, were coached well enough to get to – max out all the performance that you guys had.
Yeah, we were talent challenge, I guess you could say.
Well, you know, those
I mean,
there was,
you know, we had
James Lofton. You had a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Jefferson.
Then we had Lynn Dickey. Well, back then, our defenses just weren't good enough. We could score a bunch of points, mm-hmm. but we couldn't stop anybody.
Well, that's the kind of football we all like
and
to watch.
And that affects your special teams as well.
Right.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
The first game I ever got to cover, I just saw it. It's on YouTube. It's amazing. I watched it during the Super Bowl in Atlanta on the big screen that Bill had at the house that we rented, okay? And this was a typical 80s game. Packers go out there, and they have, like, four turnovers in the first half. They're hosting the Rams at Milwaukee County Stadium. And you could see the potential there. And the hard hits that are going on, but just sloppy play, just not, you know, having that execution and on special teams. And then all of a sudden they get hot in the second half. And the other thing, too, is I love watching that kind of football because there's no penalties, man. There's, you know, guys are just killing each other.
Yeah, gladiator football.
They're just smacking people. There's no timeouts.
Man.
Yeah. And the Packers come back and win the thing, like, you know, 38-35. And Dickey throws like four touchdown passes. They were a lot more fun, loose games that were going on, you know, back at that time. So, and that's what it was. Those Packers were always 8-8 every year, you know, just mm-hmm. missing it by two games where they could have gotten into some kind of a wild card situation. But those were the challenges that I think Bart and Forrest faced as head coaches.
Well, he was definitely one heck of an incredible player and a great coach. And he's one of the all-time best Packers of all time. Forrest Gregg passes away today. And hopefully we'll touch on a few more stories that Gary has later on here today. We're also going to hear from Rob Reichel coming up in about a half hour from right now. He put out a little tidbit yesterday on Twitter, then followed it up with a story that I think a lot of people are questioning. Just how close are the Packers to drafting the quarterback of the future? Ben Fennell stops by at 4:35. Adam McKelvey talks Brewers at 4:48. Gary D'Amato talks Masters at 5:35. We got a lot to get to. We only got a little bit of time. We only got 3 hours with you. We get till 6 o'clock, but we reset everything at 5 o'clock. So we got to pound all of our good stuff until 5 o'clock. Wendy's Big Show right here. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Bill Schmidt right here on the Fan. Show on the Fan, Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, myself, Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock. 414-799-1250. The phone number live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox. Thanks to Mike Clemens for stopping in. First segment, talk a little bit about Forrest Gregg. We're also going to hear from Dave Robinson, Pro Football Hall of Famer, coming up later on in the program. Talk about his former teammate and co-champion. As they've won a couple of Super Bowls, a few different world championships together with the Green Bay Packers. First, boys, it starts up tomorrow, and it's one of the longest playoffs in all of sports.
I would agree with that.
They like to drag it on as long as possible, but the NBA playoff starts up tomorrow night. And the matchups in the East, the Bucks are the number one seed. We all know that. They'll take on the Detroit Pistons. And for the first time in a couple of different years, the All-Eastern Conference playoff teams have a record of at least 500 and more. The rest of the matchups will go Toronto against the Orlando Magic. Philadelphia will take on the Brooklyn Nets and D'Angelo Russell in them. And the 4-5 matchup will see the Boston Celtics take on the Victor Oladipo-less Indiana Pacers. Gary, out of these first round matchups, everybody expects these to go pretty chalk in Bucks, Raptors, 76ers, and Celtics to be able to advance. But when you look at these series and focusing mostly on that Boston-Indiana series, as the winner of that one will be awaiting the winner of Bucks and Pistons, is there any way that you see Indiana being able to pull an upset there where the Bucks would be facing the Pacers in game one of the second round instead of Boston?
Well, can I just talk about the Bucks real quick?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Let's start with them. When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks and what they're facing, they're facing a team that they've dominated all year long, right? And I was interested to see what Thon Maker can actually do, right? And what he can bring to it. Because everybody saw when he got traded that may be an opportunity for him to go and earn his paycheck or earn his money. I don't know. He's got significant playing time there, but I don't know if he's actually done anything with it. If you think that he's going to do something, if he's healthy to play, it will be against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be ready to go. He's going to be juiced up to get into that game.
You would think he'd be fired up.
And he'll most likely be the starter if Blake Griffin is not able to go coming up on Sunday night, as he's still listening to day-to-day with that knee injury.
Right, right, right.
Seems like that guy's always hurt.
Well, I mean, he is.
Kind of, yeah.
He is. But when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons, I would say, I want to say sweep, but I'm going to say in five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I want to say sweep, but because they should sweep them, right?
Well, talent-wise, they dominate them, like you said, all year long.
All year long.
Hot shooting night in Little Caesars Arena. You right. never know. Same situation. I mean, they're served up
hot like
and fresh.
Hot shooting night.
They're hot
in
and
Little
fresh.
Caesars
and yeah, and
pizza.
You can shoot with a team like that. You have the Luke Kennards. You have Blake Griffin when he can shoot. Don Maker can shoot the ball a little bit as well. You know, Wayne Ellington, Reggie Jackson as well. And Andre Drummond still poses enough of a threat inside where they could get one. But, yeah, I would agree with that. You'd like to see a sweep, but five games will be okay.
And I think if it's five games, no one really should be upset about
that. Not even
that.
A little.
I know everybody's looking for a sweep. I mean, I think that's what I've been hearing all over the social network. You know, Bucks fans right now are just feeling themselves. Everybody's talking about sweep. But, Leroy, I'm going to go five. What do you think?
Hey, listen.
I know you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's been a long time since you've been here. Hey, man, just win. 4-2. I don't care.
See, you don't, but you don't want that.
I just want to win.
Well, I know that.
Because I think it's manufactured built-in frustration. If they don't do that, now people are going to fly off.
I get what you're saying.
They're going to the next round.
You're saying that you're giving them a reason, fans, a reason to freak out.
Yeah, they're
going to
freak out regardless. They're going to find something to freak out. Just be happy you're going to the next round. They haven't done it in a long time. I'm not going to put a mandate on that they sweep a team that they're better than. Because if you ever heard the word upset, one of my favorite movies is Any Given Sunday with LL Cool J and Jamie Foxx. On any given day, you can get beat. You know, I've been beaten by teams. I remember the Colts beat us. They hadn't won a game, and we were Super Bowl contenders. So my thing is I won't disrespect them. Well, what they would say was give them bulletin board material, which is kind of mean up as far as players are concerned. But you know, say, oh, the Bucks and they're going to sweep you guys. At the end of the day, you still got to play the game.
But okay? To the point of the Bucks and Pistons with wanting to get the series over with, Gary, because Brook Lopez played 81 games this season. Chris Middleton
That's
played
amazing.
All 82 games That's this amazing. Season. And you do want to keep those legs as fresh as possible for as hard as Giannis is going to work in the second, third, fourth, hopefully in the NBA Finals. Get this thing done with and get him off his feet.
So that's my thing to Leroy. That's why the 4-2 don't work. It just doesn't. Giannis got to get the most rest that he can. I mean, I get what Leroy's saying, but I think if they extend series and series goes longer than they should, that only hurts Giannis. I mean, we got a great question coming up at 4 o'clock because this is what this plays into. If he's going to be the guy, that means he's got to exert more energy. And you just don't want him you want these games to be relatively easy as possible so you can get Giannis off his feet.
I ain't never heard that before in my life.
What?
A potential number one player. We try to save him. Yeah, go win, play.
But that's what they've been
play
doing.
All of, hey, listen.
But that's what they've been doing all year.
But Michael Jordan, they never had asterisk. We got to win so we can get him rest.
Well, that's what
well,
we
maybe
want,
he's not
Leroy.
Ready
I mean,
for that.
That's what we want. I mean, that you're a smart guy, Leroy. I know you went
well,
to,
come on. LeBron James had never said that.
I know I didn't say LeBron James said it. This is what I'm saying.
I know, but don't you value him like one of those guys?
Yeah, but I'm just being logical. And they would do this for LeBron. Hey, listen, if they're up on the Detroit Pistons by like 25, telling you.
Oh,
do you
ahead,
still want Giannis on the floor?
If they got the game sold up, of course
right.
not.
Right. So if they can have a sweep
and
not play two more games, don't you want that to happen?
Well, I want them to just win.
That's not what I'm asking you. So you trying to – I'm just saying, but don't you want them to play as fewest game as possible, right?
I want – Well,
just logically.
I look at it different.
No. Don't look at it different. I'm just asking you.
Oh, so don't look at it my way.
No, logically. Okay, logically. Way. Logically, if you just
logically,
say,
I just want to win.
Right, but don't you want them to play the fewest games as possible?
But everybody want the same thing, Gary.
I understand. That's not what I'm
we
asking.
We disagree. It's okay.
No,
it's okay.
We don't even disagree.
I know. I don't
you
understand
answer,
why you. I don't
you haven't even answered the question. But logically.
I haven't answered the way you want it. This is what I'm saying.
No.
I just want them to win, Gary.
Fine.
If you want to take them out.
Hey, listen, Leroy. It could go 7. I don't
right.
care. I want them to
right.
win.
Now, well, we agree on that.
Now,
so we can move on now.
Let me bring it back. Now.
To what?
Let me bring it back. Do you want them to play as few games as possible.
Every team wants that, okay, but whether good. Or not it happens.
So what that does, that benefits your team. So that means your guy, like if I'm playing a team that's only played four games versus a team that's went seven, one team's going to be more tired than the other. I mean, that's just common sense to me.
I think the best player. We've never had this kind of stuff like this. If you're the best player, if he got to play seven games all the way out, he's the best player. It don't matter to me. I don't care when he get rest. The regular season's over. This is a new season. He may have to – all his game may go seven. Well, he got to be ready to go.
In a perfect world, you don't want that.
Well, we don't live in a perfect world. You know that.
Well, and as well
– somebody may take him out. You never know.
Okay. Alleged. Now, you knock on that desk right in front of you.
Man, I don't believe in all that. I go to church. I don't believe in all
that. This guy says, you know, somebody could take him out. Well, yeah, somebody could. That's why you finish up the games as quick as possible, right?
Yeah.
There's obvious reasons and obvious motives to get out of the first round as quick as possible. And the best part is, Gary, when you look at that 4-5 matchup with Marcus Smart being out for Boston, Indiana being without Victor Oladipo, but still the defensive-minded team that they have, to the point, the Bucks are going to have the opportunity to watch Boston and Indiana possibly go 6 to 7 games, because Indiana's not going to be an easy out for that Boston team.
No, they're not. And here's the thing. They don't have great chemistry to begin with Kyrie and them. If there's going to be upset, that's the upset.
Because that's a team that plays team basketball under Nate McMillan in Indiana.
And that, if there's going to be an upset, there's your upset right there. And you're just hoping that happens. You're just hoping Kyrie and them absolutely explodes.
Either way, though, I look into the second round, Leroy, and that series looks to me as a 6-game series. A Bucks 4-2 victory either over Indiana or over Boston.
Yeah.
Not too much of a concern for me at all.
I'll take all of that. I think Indiana's done a great job without their star being a 5-seed. That's amazing.
When they got Matthews, that's what they did, and that helped them.
That's a good rally. That's a good job. I mean, they can – but if Boston gets knocked out, I would love for it to be in my sick world. I'd love for it to be the Bucks knock them out.
So Boston is one of those teams that you have circled as a Bucks fan that you would want to knock out.
Because I want to see Rozier and Bledsoe go at it again.
That's
Bledsoe
true. That would be more fun. But I would like to see that more than I'd like to see Giannis going up against Sabonis. That would be a lot more of a must-see TV situation. In the Toronto-Orlando, predicting that, once again, we go chalk for the first round with Toronto going up against Orlando. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn going up against the 76ers. Now, Joel Embiid did come out today, talked on Philadelphia radio that he's feeling some soreness, he's feeling some pain, that they're still expecting him to be good to go, but practice is going to determine whether he's ready to go game one to game two, be a little bit more day-to-day. Still barring the fact that we're believing those series will go similar, 5 to 6 games, if you're talking about the 76ers or the Toronto Raptors. Those two teams meet in the semifinals, Gary Ellerson. Who are you giving the upper hand to, Toronto or Philadelphia?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like Philly for some strange reason. I mean, I just
when they added Tobias Harris, it just added something.
And once again, they're like Boston. Can they all coexist? And it seems like that they can. I mean, I like Philly a lot.
They're much closer on the same wavelength of being Philly, on each other.
I think Philly posed the biggest threat to the Bucks than anybody else in the East.
Yeah, and Philly has Meek Mill, and Toronto has Drake. So.
So either way, it's going to be a difficult situation. We are going to be outshined in the rap battle game. As much as I love Joe Brown and I love Let It Fly,
right,
I don't think we're going to compete with either of those two.
We got some nice talent here. We'll find it. We'll dig it up. We got that.
The Let It Fly song?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we do.
We do?
You want to hear it after the break?
Sure.
Yeah. And then we'll continue to coast through the Eastern Conference playoffs. Still got
any
Rob
rappers out there big from Milwaukee?
Minutes.
Let us know so we can give you some shine.
Ray Nitti is the only one that I can think of as close.
Okay.
He did She Got a Donk, one of my favorites when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, if anybody else has someone better, let me know. And if somebody wants to collab on something better than Let It Fly, let me know. I would love to.
We need all our celebrities on the
get
front
on a mic
sometime.
I was checking out one of my rap videos earlier today that I did when I was younger, but you know, it's whatever. Nothing else.
Your mom let you do a rap video?
Anthony Mandela got to see
Leroy,
it.
Billy's
today.
All about them bones.
She didn't let you say
you don't know
bad
this video?
Words, though.
You don't want to see the video.
You seen the video, Gary?
No, I have not.
You guys don't want to see the video.
Show it to me.
Don't want to see the video.
If you want to lose respect for a guy in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow, respect.
It's the easiest way to do it.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Respect on his name.
You say respect?
We got a lot of respect on Rob Reichel's name. He joins us in 15 minutes. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, you at 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show. Keep it locked on the Fan.
Watch this. The Bucks are what's hot, there's no need to deny. So what we gonna do?
Let it fly, let it fly.
That blue, green, and cream make opponents running high. So what we gonna do?
Let it fly.
Straight from the Central Division, we're focused on winning. It's pure tunnel vision, the Bucks on the mission. Here we go, let's go, welcome to the Bled Show. Go Bucks, go, cause the president says so. Giannis flying high, look up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's cash money in your eye. Going for the gusto, the Bucks are on the way. Good to start, good to last, good to play.
Every Bled Show, let it fly, let it fly. Splash Mountain, let it fly, let it fly.
The Greek Free,
let it fly, let it fly.
Cause who's gonna win it?
The Bucks, let it fly.
President Brogdon,
let it fly, let it fly.
Cash Money,
let it fly, let it fly.
The whole squad,
let it fly, let it fly.
Cause who's gonna win it?
The Bucks, let it fly.
Let it fly by our old man, Judge Joe Brown.
Judge
Joe Brown.
Now he has better hair than you.
Joe Brown does have better hair than me.
He
yes,
got a good
yes, sir.
I love that guy.
One of the reasons why I continued to grow my hair out when I got to the Fan. I was talking to Joe and I was like, "Hey man, do you think I'd have to cut my hair?" And then he goes, "Look at me. I'm all good."
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. Also, apologize to the hip hop world. Ray Nitti's song was Bow.
That
She got a body like Bow, Bow, oh. Bow. That was Ray Nitti. Okay. The song that I said was She Got a Donk was by Soulja Boy. So once again, I stand corrected.
Well, Soulja Boy will come after you now.
Well, and the best part is we have such an astute listening base that, you know, everybody right away did know and was able to help me out. So I
appreciate
that. I
think my boy K-Camp is from, rapper K-Camp. I think he's from Milwaukee.
We'll have to check that out if K-Camp can come in for a collab. So we go into the Eastern Conference Finals as we preview the Eastern Conference playoffs before Rob Reichel comes up here at 2:48, discuss the possibility of the Packers grabbing a quarterback at 30 out of their two first-round picks as we are within 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Gary, we look right now, as we've paced it, that it will be Bucks and Celtics going into the second-round series and Raptors 76ers. Bucks-Celtics, your series prediction for that second round would be?
I think if you look at the second round, and I think the West would probably be just as competitive, but this second round, man, that's tough. All four of those games, we know who they're going to be, right? It's Toronto, it's Philly, it's the Bucks, and who's the last one? And Boston, right?
Boston.
Those are the four teams. That those are your four teams that's going to be in the second round. And obviously, Leroy wants Boston, but I want the path least resistance. Is that a good phrase?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
least resistance would be Indiana to me.
Oh, absolutely, it would be, because you wouldn't have to deal with a suit. You wouldn't have to deal with an all-star. You'd have to deal with a sum of very, very good players.
You just don't know. Go ahead.
In that sense, Indiana, when we talk about a team that can clog up the middle and has done it to Giannis before, they have shown the blueprint on how to slow
they
down
have.
Giannis at the top of the key.
They have.
Yep.
But you just don't know. You just don't know what Boston's going to do. Like, can they just all of a sudden put it together?
Yeah, Uncle Drew could just go off.
Right, Leroy?
Yeah, he could.
And then Haywood and all them other jokers, they just decide, okay, we want to get in. Because really, on paper, if they're right, Boston's got a better team.
And people already think they got a better coach.
On paper. On paper now, but you don't play it on paper.
Nope.
Sure don't.
On paper, something's wrong, though, inside Boston, but they've got a better team.
On paper, I was 6'1", 190 at the combine. 6'1", 190 is in our press guide at Florida State. Got to the combine, 5'11", 187. I was hot. So you still got to play.
As fish grease.
So on paper,
yes.
Is Toronto better than Philadelphia?
No.
Another good question.
No. I like Philly there. I think it should be in the finals, Philly and the Bucks.
Yeah, Butler gives them something in the fourth quarter if they need to take over. You've seen that if you want Ben Simmons to just deflate, you could just let him shoot outside. But he tried to control the tempo. They got wide open shooters because they got so many people in the paint, especially if Embiid is right. And that's what they want, try to put shooters around Embiid. I think this year is going to be very evenly matched, but at the same time, for the NBA, this is good. This is good. This is good.
That Toronto team is difficult to sleep on in the sense of that they have a lot of playoff experience. They have a lot of experience
being in
this situation. But they also had added a Mark Gasol in the middle, which is a huge defensive upgrade for them.
Right.
They also can shoot it with Danny Green and Serge. They do have the star, the superstar, bona fide superstar in Kawhi Leonard to battle anybody in this Eastern Conference.
Right.
Did he defend Giannis any when they played? I don't remember.
Oh, Kawhi?
Yeah. Because he's a good
defender.
He can.
A lot of the time.
Yeah, but they can switch up on him too. I mean, they got enough bigs. They got enough bigs to throw at Giannis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
And Pascal Siakam can also come over at 6'9", and he's one of the biggest reasons why they are where they are.
The 4 o'clock topic going to be real.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun at 4 o'clock.
Not like we're not having any now, but at 4 o'clock topic.
But we have a lot of fun when we talk to Joel on the south side. Joel, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? First round is going to be a sweep, and I'm not even, you know, I'm not trying to be overconfident or anything.
No, it's like okay.
It's just, if it's 1994, the Pistons are a great team.
Right.
But in today's game, with their bigs, it's just, you know, they're getting a possibility of a 2, and everyone else is getting a possibility of a 3.
Yeah.
And the teams that give the Bucks trouble sometimes are the guys, the bigs who can step out and shoot. Because you can put Brook in a pick situation, and while he's great at the rim, he's not great covering those guys at the three-point line. And Drummond, you know, he's not moving great. So I think that's why they swept him during the regular season. And this might be an unpopular opinion. I actually think the Pistons pose a greater threat without Blake. Because Blake, while he's probably the second-best player in the series, he doesn't make the team greater than the sum of its parts. Like, the other four guys aren't better because of him. The ball's not moving. It just kind of stops with him.
True.
And so moving forward, Boston, another unpopular opinion, I think they're better without Kyrie. Now, granted, Kyrie's great. Ball in his hand. People are enamored with what he can do with it. He's a great scorer. He's never played in a playoff game without LeBron. So to me, he's a great Robin to the Batman, and he's the guy. I just think, again, the ball's not moving, and the rest of the team's standing there, and then they don't play as hard on defense. They're not in the, you know, they're not fluid on offense. So Boston scares me because of Brad Stevens and their potential, but really, to me, it's about Toronto and Philly, and I'm not sure which one I want to see, but first round, sweep.
Appreciate it, Joel.
Yeah, I just don't see all this Brad Stevens scare me stuff. I got to see.
He was anointed the best coach in the NBA.
I don't see how. He won nothing. I mean, how you gonna put him over Booten?
Budenholzer hasn't won
anything. Well, today, Budenholzer hasn't won anything either. You're right about that.
But Budenholzer
got the best team though this year. Boston is 4th seed. How they getting all this pub over? They're in a bigger market. I get it
for sure.
Whereas
and
Boston,
also, it's difficult with Boston because they've continually shuffled in parts. Like Leroy, you always talk about this isn't fantasy football when we talk about the Packers wanting to go get anybody. Yeah. Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens have seemingly been playing fantasy basketball for the last like 5 years and consistently like, okay, I think we could trade this dude out, bring him in. Dude.
So is Philly.
Oh yeah, and Philly did the same thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's one of the teams that grew the core and then tried to make the push that they're on. Ram on the north side. You're up before Rob Reichel.
Hey, what's up, baby T and Leroy?
What's up, Ram?
What's going on, Ram?
Hall of Fame guy, Big G. You know, I just think what the last caller said, I'm kind of going to ride with that. I just think the playoffs is just a different animal, man. It's a different attitude. Mm-hmm. I think the regular season is all about getting seeding. But, you know, like, Leroy, you played in a Super Bowl game, and that's a different mentality when you go deep in the playoffs. And then when you haven't been there, some guys get nervous, man. Leroy, you could tell, you remember seeing guys throw up?
Yeah.
That's real. And in that moment, you know, you in that moment, you got to make that, got to have that clutch gene. And that's going to be interesting for the Bucks. You know, Gasol's not going to be a factor. I mean, Hill might be. But when I look at some of these other teams, and I mean, Gary and all three of you can attest to this, they have players on their team that have played big games throughout their careers.
Correct.
That's the big difference.
Yes.
I'm talking about college, high school, high school. That's big. When you win a high school championship, college championship, or go deep in the Final Four, that's big. But when you never taste that champagne, it just don't come just because you win 60 games. Yeah. I just don't see that.
Well, the Bucks got Bledsoe, don't they?
He,
Out of Kentucky.
They didn't win when he was in Kentucky.
Yeah, but still, it was Kentucky. It's a blue blood school. I mean, it was one of those big schools.
He's on a big
John Wall was there. He played behind John Wall.
I understand. Right? I understand. But yeah. I'm just saying that's a blue blood school.
I'm going to say Bledsoe. He's one of those guys. He should be top 10 next season if he plays at this level that we've been seeing, that we've been won. But now, everybody got to step up with him. And Gary, you made an excellent point about Philly. I just think Philly right now really is probably head and shoulders going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I like right now, I'm just, when you split, like I was watching the way that they shoot. They got at least four guys that can knock down contested shots.
Yep.
I mean, talking about you just giving the ball, baby T, you step out there, they don't care. He's standing right there. They're going right over. He's going right there, the nylon. Wow. You know, and B, he gets assists though. He gives them nice, you know, clean assists to get the good shot. So that's going to be. That's gonna pose a problem when you gotta win four games, and then you got a guy. I mean, two guys get cold, and you might get one guy get hot, and then I think Butler is a wild card. You just give him the ball, get out the way.
Appreciate the call, man. And that is one thing that Jimmy Butler can be the dude that every single night at stretches. I talked about it yesterday with Malcolm Brogdon, when the Bucks would be skidding during a game for the first like 60 games that Brogdon was a part of. There would be a point in every single game where the offense would slow, the offense would stall, the ball wouldn't move, and Brogdon was the guy that could continually get the ball moving again and be able to take it by himself, drive to the hoop, find somebody on the outside for a three, or just penetrate and take it by himself for two to three, four possessions. Jimmy Butler can do that for five, six, seven possessions in a game.
Yes.
You know who else can just take over?
Who's that?
Gina Della. Like, they walk in, they take over, and they put in the best windows possible.
About it. Pella Windows and Doors, guys. The best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process, and right now they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. Guys, listen to 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months, guys. No payment until June of 2020. That's free money. That means that you get to save on your bill. What bill you got? Well, your heating bill, your air conditioning. I mean, you get to save on all that electricity because you got great windows in your house. And you're not even paying anything until June of 2020. Guys, go check my good friends out. Pella Windows and Doors right now today to get that 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months.
I know they've been hearing that whistling sound because it's back. We had a lot of wind the last couple of days. Yes, not to mention all the snow and stuff like that. So the weather is not a issue. These guys work inside. Let me tell you how to get in touch with them. It's PellaWI.com, or you can give them a phone call, 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Tell them Gary Ellison and Leroy Butler sent you.
Rob Reichel said that it might be time for the Packers to think about the future at the quarterback position. We ask him who he's thinking next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler joining me here in the studio, and right now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes for Forbes.com as well as BobAginFootball.com. He is Rob Reichel, joins us seemingly every week during the football season. Rob, appreciate the time, man.
Oh, always a pleasure. How are you, Billy?
Fantastic, buddy. And wanted to get you on primarily because of what we saw you write up on Twitter and then write up on Forbes yesterday discussing the possibility with two first-round picks for the Green Bay Packers. You highlight a guy that I really like at the quarterback position, Daniel Jones out of Duke, as a possible candidate for the Packers if they are looking at the similarities between situations when you move down from Brett Favre, 35-year-old quarterback, new regime. Feels very similar here in 2019.
Yeah, the parallels are pretty eerie, Bill. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean they're going to take a quarterback, but, you know, in April of 05, Favre was 35. His general manager, Ted Thompson, had been on the job three and a half months. Mike Sherman was obviously still the head coach, but heading into his last season. You kind of fast forward to now, guys. Aaron Rodgers, who was the quarterback taken in 2005 as a 21-year-old kid, is now 35, the exact same age that Favre was when they went and found his eventual replacement. Matt LaFleur has been on the job three and a half months. You've got a general manager in Brian Gutekunst who's been there 15, 16 months. And Daniel Jones, ironically, Schmitty would be 21 if you wound up taking a guy like that. It's always, you know, benefited teams across the league, guys, to have forward-thinking, a look-ahead approach to the most important position on the field in terms of the quarterback. You know, I'm not saying by any means they're going to take a quarterback. I found all those parallels kind of striking and kind of eerie, Bill. And, you know, obviously Thompson took a lot of heat, and he took a lot of heat from Mike Sherman, too, for taking Aaron Rodgers when he did back in 2005. I mean, Sherman thought Thompson was setting him up to fail at that particular time. They had far greater needs than taking Aaron Rodgers, but it set the franchise up, guys, for another decade of success. And my whole point there was if the right guy falls to 30, if the right guy might even fall to 12, the timing might not be bad to go ahead and grab your quarterback of, you know, the 2020s.
Yeah, Rob, we had an unfortunate death in the family. Forrest Gregg, Gary's coach, and it just seemed like it was just – obviously, these kind of things catch you by surprise. Do you have any Forrest Gregg memories that you can share?
You know, he was around before me or my time in terms of covering the team, Leroy. I certainly watched him as a kid, and I'd say my greatest recollections would just be – you know, that he took that whole Packer-Bear rivalry almost to another level in the 80s. It's so different now. It's nothing like it was then. I mean, guys now are pals, and they share the same agents and things like that, and they hobnob in the off seasons and stuff. But, I mean, in a couple of the different books I've done, guys, I certainly talked to enough people about Forrest Gregg. I forget exactly where I ranked him in the one book where I list the top 100 Packers of all time. You know, but that was always the one consistent theme that kept coming up is just how much he hated Ditka, how much he hated the Bears, how much that rivalry meant to him, and how much he made that point to his players and to his teams that this is Auburn, Alabama, this is Duke, North Carolina, I mean, this is Packers, Bears, and Michigan, Ohio State, and I'm not sure, guys, it's quite like that anymore. But boy, it sure was under Forrest Gregg.
Hey, let's get back to this the Packers now. You saw the article that Tyler Dunn wrote, and I think maybe Martin Murphy's came out and tried to quell some of the fire there. What's your thoughts on that article?
Well, you know me well enough, Gary. I mean, I'm kind of an old school journalist.
Yes,
guy.
You are. And, yes, you are.
You know, kind
are
of.
Are you really your thoughts on Tyler Dunn as well?
No, Tyler's as good as we have in our business. Tyler's not the kind of guy to throw nonsense at the wall and hope a little bit if it sticks. I mean, if Tyler's putting something out there, Tyler has it once, twice, more than once or twice. He has it three, four, five times from various people. You know, the response from Rogers, the response from Murphy. Even Mike McCarthy, you know, getting various people to talk about him not getting a massage. To me, that was all predictable. What else are they going to say at that point in time? I thought Rodgers was a little bit over the top, and I, you know, in terms of calling it a smear campaign, I think that's the last thing in the world it was. I think it was a terrific story about why that particular group of Packers were about a 7, 8, 9 year window only won one Super Bowl, and it wound up breaking down the dysfunction between the quarterback and the head coach. I think better than anybody on the beat and anybody who's written about these guys has done. I think a lot of these stories, guys like myself and Mike Clemens and you, Gary, and Leroy have heard, and we know some of these things. And at various times, I've written about stuff like this. But I think Tyler having 4 months to do nothing other than this story just kind of took it to another level. And I think the organization now, Gary, is kind of at a crossroads. Can they get Aaron Rodgers to buy in and accept coaching at 35 years old from a guy who's 4 years older than him? Because if they can't, then you're going to have another 3-4 years of wasted football in Green Bay before you move on to the next quarterback.
Now, you say this is very similar to Brett Favre at the end when, do I want to retire? Do I not want to retire? Do I want to retire? Do I not? Can you come and get me? Send a plane, blah, blah, blah. Is this similar into that with Rodgers, I guess, with everything being unsettled?
Well, it's a different type of drama. It's certainly a good deal of drama, though, you know, Gary. I mean, Brett's was more, you know, almost self-induced in terms of putting the spotlight on himself year after year. I think Brett craved somebody to come to him every particular offseason and almost beg him to come back. You know, Aaron's is so different in terms of it just, you know, and the story, I think, was terrific in terms of taking it to another level, just kind of explained and put out there for so many people just how tough he is as a teammate, and just how he didn't take coaching well, and almost how he's a don, a mafia boss on some levels, guys. You know, you don't do it my way, you're not going to see the football. You know, that was never Brett Favre. Brett Favre's drama was again, oh, am I coming back or not? And I need a hug, and I need you to love me a little bit for me to come on back. Aaron's is more, you know, just he's just I think a difficult guy as a teammate and a difficult guy for a lot of people to be around. And I think when certain guys get out of Green Bay, Gary, and they don't have a huge problem expressing that. Some are a little bit more afraid to put their name on it because they've seen what happened to guys like Finley and Jennings and people like that. But it is a consistent theme, you know, that you hear over and over from various guys. Whether or not they do want to put their name on it is a whole nother story, though.
Talking with Rob Reichel here on the Wendy's Big Show of Forbes.com and Bob McGinn Football.com. Rob, when you look at where the Packers can go with these two picks in the first round, the last time they had these two picks in the first round, both of those guys allow you within a year's time to be competing in one of the biggest spots that your franchise had been, and then ultimately lead you into a Super Bowl. What type of impact players, and more importantly, at what positions do you believe right now the Packers would need these two first-round picks to be at to get them into the similar spot that those two had the impact of the last time they had two first-round picks?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, Schmitty, they hit home runs on those two guys, and you know, they got themselves a couple of Pro Bowl players when they took Raji at 9 and then Clay at 26 in 09. The odds of that aren't great to hit, you know, to hit it with really two Pro Bowlers, and, mm-hmm. and Clay will be in the Packer Hall of Fame one day. If you look at them right now, though, I mean, I really think they need a difference maker, guys, in the receiving position on offense, whether that's a guy like Hockenson, a tight end, whether that's a little bit deeper and where maybe they can find a slot wide receiver, you know, guys maybe down there at 30 like A.J. Brown out of Mississippi or somebody like that. But they had fewer weapons in the passing game last year, I think, than any of us can remember, probably back to, what, the Bill Schrader late 90s years. I mean, it was Davante Adams and a whole lot of nothing. And I know they have a great deal of belief and faith that these young second-year wide receivers are going to come on, at least one or two of them. But, guys, I think they need a difference maker at wide receiver. They haven't taken a first-round wide receiver since Javon Walker in 03. They haven't taken a first-round tight end since Bubba Franks. That was either 0 or 01. I forget the exact year. But they really do need another weapon, I think, for Aaron. And then, guys, they could go a lot of different directions on defense. I think they desperately need a second safety now to pair with Amos, who they took in free agency. They could probably buy another year out of Tremont Williams, but I don't think that's ideal. But at the same point in time, guys, this is an all-time defensive line draft. This is a legendary defensive line draft where it's the best in a quarter century, and they can probably get a real difference maker and a playmaker up there at 12. So, guys, if they could find another difference maker on each side of the ball, they're probably back in the postseason. I don't think it's a Super Bowl roster. I think they're another year or two away from that. But with what they did in free agency, guys, and if they can really hit it on both those draft picks, I think they can become relevant again pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think real quick, I think they like that Oklahoma receiver to put him in the slot, because I think if not, they're going to try Davante Adams in the slot. But I want to go to running back real quick. It's a position that not a lot of people have been talking about. Not trust me, not the first couple rounds, but maybe in the third or fourth or fifth round, maybe pick up another running back that can kind of, you know, like a pass-catching tight running back. And that guy has to be, the return game has suffered, Rob. I mean, Trevor Davis was supposed to be the guy, but no punt returner. I mean, Ty Montgomery at one point was your leading punt returner. They've gotten nowhere with that. So if they can get a slot guy or a running back to be the return guy to help these special teams, I think that'll help.
Yeah, they need a lot of help across the board on special teams, don't they, Roy?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, and I assume, you know, with the 10 draft picks, I assume they're going to find four or five guys that they would hope become pretty consistent core guys, because, I mean, that what we saw last year out of the Packers special teams was probably the worst I've seen in my lifetime, guys. That was a top of the air week in and week out. That was all-time, you know, dysfunction, and that was an absolute garbage show. But no, to your question, Roy, though, on running backs, you know, I was looking at this close over the last couple of weeks, and the kid out of Alabama, the Josh Jacobs kid. Again, I don't know that they can justify going running back in round one. They might be able to trade back and get him at some point in round two.
I like him.
A lot of people, Roy, are going to want that 30th pick because someone's going to want to jump up there for a quarterback. That's where I kind of hinted today in my Forbes story that Daniel Jones would make some sense, and I do think Daniel Jones will go somewhere in that vicinity. If Green Bay doesn't use that pick on him, you know, somebody else will, or somebody else will trade up into that spot and steal that quarterback late in round one. That's been a consistent theme and pattern. But if Green Bay does want to really find a long-term pair, because I'm not quite as sold on Williams maybe to pair with Jones, but if they took a kid like Josh Jacobs out of Alabama, then Green Bay could have that thunder and lightning where they actually could run the ball, guys, let's say 45% of the snaps, which LaFleur probably wants to do. You probably extend Rodgers' career a couple more years, and you tell him to fall in line with the offense and take what's given, and he actually does that, and you're running the ball, you know, to the level where you're a top 10 or top 12 rushing team in the league. That offense could become pretty good pretty quickly again, guys.
That's Rob Reichel of Forbes and of BobMcGinnFootball.com. And Rob, we'll plan on talking to you in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some names of some new Packers that'll be on the field for the team in 2019. Looking forward to it.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good weekend. Thanks
Rob. Robbie. Mm-hmm. And Rob Reichel joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. The Los Angeles Lakers making it official. Luke Walton and the Lakers parting ways mutually as the coach of the team. The announcement from Rob Pelinka: we would like to thank Luke for his dedicated service the last 3 years. We wish Luke and his family nothing but the best moving forward. And then Luke also thanks Jeannie Buss and the Buss family for giving him the opportunity to coach the Lakers. The franchise and the city will always be special to me and my family. And I'll probably be seeing them quite often, as I would imagine he will not be traveling too far away for his next job. As yesterday it came out that the Sacramento Kings, Luke Walton was the head front runner for their new coaching job.
They owe him two more years on his contract, too. I think he's making like $5 million per.
They probably paid him. Get out of there.
And it appears now, as Woj now tweets out, Ty Lue is a strong front runner for the Los Angeles Lakers coaching job. Yeah, stunning, right?
But Jason Kidd, I want to talk. Bring him in. Let's talk to him.
Still think Juwan Howard's going to get a very, very strong look, too. Man, former teammate of LeBron's. He's won tons of titles. That's another name. So that. The coaching carousel will continue to move around in the NBA. We'll keep you plugged in all day long to that. We got a lot more to get to. And Rob brought up the fact that Daniel Jones or another quarterback is going to go in that 30 position like in the draft in 2 weeks. Could it just make too much sense for the Packers to do? 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show right back after this.